I'm Ted Baker. This is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 38, looking back at an NEC opening loss in overtime at Sacred Heart last Saturday and ahead to the Bryan College Bulldogs this Saturday at Boswell Field. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
Does the idea of games that you're supposed to win kind of bug you at all? I mean, this is obviously one of those games. Everybody expected you to beat Sacred Heart, and so it just leaves kind of a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Should we get off of that whole concept of you should win this one, you shouldn't win this one?
Well, you know, it depends on how you're phrasing it, really. I think, you know, we're not supposed to win or not supposed to win anything. We just, that's just not the way human nature works. That's not the way Division I athletics works. That's how we think, you know, Ted. We believe that we've worked hard enough and have enough in our arsenal to win a Sacred Heart game. We do. But whether or not we execute at the level to do that is yet to be determined. So expectations for us are meaningless. I've told you that a ton. Our goals are exact, and the result of accomplishing those goals usually results in wins. And sometimes it doesn't either. You know, I think if you look at a Sacred Heart game, the goal of that game is to really be tougher in a consistent way, meaning we have more possessions, we pick up more ground balls, we clear the ball better, we ride the ball back more often, we steal possessions with dives on an end line, we block shots, we make hustle plays. And quite candidly, we did a lot of that stuff. I think early in the third quarter, you see Kevin Holtby dive for a possession. Early in the fourth quarter, Max Horton goes in off the bench and dives and gets knocked. It gets hit right directly in the back for diving to block a shot. So, and we out ground balled them by a ton. You know, I think they had a few more saves than us. I think their goalie played the best game we've seen him play. But, you know, I think the goals were met still in a lot of different places. But, you know, offensively, I think we had our worst day for a lot of different reasons we'll probably get into here today. And so the execution that comes with those goals is sometimes subject to where your guys are at mentally, with their distractions during the week, yada, yada, yada. You can make up any type of excuse you want, but we don't believe we deserve anything. Like I told you a ton of times, Ted, we deserve what we earn. And unfortunately, on Saturday against Sacred Heart, we did not earn a victory.
You're up 7-3 a couple of minutes into the third. You were handling their helter-skelter offense. You were taking them out of their running game and into their 6-on-6 where they're not as strong. And it really looked like you had it under control. From that point on, you scored one more goal in the game and things went south. What did you see change in that last 28 minutes?
You know, I think that was the result of some of the points I just made, the result of the distraction we had early in the week. I thought, you know, Ted, as a coaching staff, we did a very poor job preparing our guys for what was going to be a different playing environment. You know, we unfortunately the week prior leading up to Sacred Heart, you know, we lost four guys to some really funky injuries and some things that, you know, weren't by, you couldn't prevent them essentially. You know, it's one happened shooting, one guy got footstepped on, one yada, yada, yada. It was, they were just strange. And so, and these were pretty significant cogs in what we do, really. If you look at, you know, for, you know, lack of prevention of naming names, if you look at losing Darren McNana and Anthony Detallis and Bobby Balzer, and, you know, and even a couple of guys that played were out most of the week for a couple of different things. You know, if you judge that bye week, we needed it. And some guys didn't even respond well to that bye week. Their bodies needed a little bit more. And we knew we would with the knee surgeries and the shoulder surgeries and all we had coming back, but it didn't work great for us. You know, that's clear. So when we go into that game, the coaching staff didn't do a good job saying, hey, without these guys, it's going to be a different feel here. Okay. And when that different feeling happens, you're going to have to stay the course and do the things that make our system work, which essentially, if you talk about offensively, is ball movement, off ball movement, and you know, making sure that our pass count's high, making sure we're getting quality opportunities, not the first opportunity. I think, you know, Sacred Heart went on that 3 or 4 goal run, which they do every time they play, Ted. And you know, you can say what you want about Sacred Heart. They're not great defensively, but they're a pretty good offensive group. And, you know, everything they do is to go on these 3-4 goal runs. So they knew that. I knew they'd go on one. We knew they'd go on one. But I don't think our guys were prepared well by us for when they did go on one. Hey, listen, you know, with some new faces on the field, some different guys in different spots, fall back on the system, right? We talk a ton about culture, strategy, until we're blue in the face, right? Ted, you're probably sick of hearing it. So when we get into those moments and when we choose to become a talent-based program, we're not very good. We aren't a talent-based program. We have talented guys for sure, but we aren't more talented than anyone. So in those moments, those talented players, we can't take it upon ourselves to make plays. That's not what we're good at. We're good at sharing the ball. We're good at making sure the defense is on its toes. We're making sure we're moving the goalie pipe to pipe, back to front, all of that stuff. And we didn't do those things, especially late in the game. And I think guys got a little bit tense, Ted, when they went on a run. And again, didn't handle that change or that flow or however you want to define it with the right mental edge. And again, that's the coaching staff's responsibility. And I can assure you it's been a very long week in the coach's office. And we've been very persistent on figuring out how and why we allowed our team to not handle that lead the way we should have. So, and we've gotten to a good place with revisiting our standards, revisiting who we are, and making sure our guys remember those as well. So, long-winded way of saying, I think some guys out of the lineup were very distracting for us, and we're disappointed as coaches that we didn't prepare our guys better.
The injury bug has really hit in the defensive midfield, and it just has ripple effects because now you're down in your defense, you're down in your clearing game, and now you've got some guys that you would normally be giving a lot of offensive midfield time forced to play more defense. So either they go both ways or they don't get as much run, and it's just, I guess that's a bad place to get hit is in your midfield.
Yeah, for sure. And Ted, you know the way we play. You know, we'd love to keep people on the field and we'd love to be aggressive in between the lines a little bit and take some chances early. And when you have to reevaluate those things because that guy that just played defense probably needs to play defense for you again in about 2 or 2.5 minutes. So, you know, that changes the perspective on how you're attacking the goal. And I thought our guys and coaches, we were a little bit tentative early. We were a little bit tentative in that early offensive set, which is, you know, gut-wrenching to even say that out loud because I can't stand when my teams play and our teams play like that. And so, and like I've told you, Ted, if our teams aren't playing the way we want them to, it's the coach's fault for sure. So, but yeah, you lose Mason, you know, you lose Bobby. Don't forget Nick Galace is out. Nick's a great D middy for us. And then in between the lines, Anthony does a ton for us in between the lines. And when Derek comes out of the box, he does a ton for us. And so, yeah, your clear becomes more about, you know, ball movement, spacing, and making sure that you're executing well rather than let's give the ball to Mason and watch him run, right? Let's give the ball to Suli and watch him run. And let's give the ball to Bobby and watch him run. That puts a different element on things. And again, slows you down a little bit. So yeah, it's been a pretty impactful hit on us. I think those guys are working pretty hard to get back, some of them anyway, and hopeful that they're back soon. But, you know, we still want the next guy in to know he can do very similar things, Ted. And he doesn't have to be tense. He doesn't have to be worried. It's not his responsibility to win games for us. The next guy in, his responsibility is to make the right play over the easy one, to make the next play and to play like an underdog. So the, you know, I think our guys being in the moment need to recognize that, hey, if this area is depleted a little bit, yeah, we got to reconstruct some things, but not all. And so, you know, the next guy in this week is going to have a very different mentality. I can assure you that.
Overtime losses are always tough, especially so when you have the first possession. I don't know what the percentage is, but probably 60 or 70% of the time, the team that wins the first face-off scores and wins the game. What happened on the OT possession?
We did a terrible job. If I can be very honest with you, I think, but Ted, again, if we have an overtime possession on Saturday, the ball is going to go into, you know, who's stick, and we'd be silly coaches to not do that. You know, before the game, we always sit down and talk, no matter who we're playing. We never take anything for granted. So we don't sit down and say, hey, we're going to blow this team out. We don't have to worry about end of game. We don't have to worry about overtime. We never think that way. I can tell you exactly when we sat in the locker room, I looked at Coach Brundage and I said, all right, now tell me again, this goes to overtime or you get a timeout and the game's on the line. What are we running? And he broke down the whole play and we ran it. You know, unfortunately, the decision made in that play was not the right one. So, and I trust number 6 with the ball, number 2 with the ball, number 9 with the ball, 23, any of those guys 100 times over. You know, it was just unfortunate that in that moment we made a decision to throw a skip pass versus throwing a single pass. And I know Arch wants the ball back in a stick in that moment, or Tommy does, or all these guys we can depend on, and we're going to give it to them. They're, one game doesn't change our trust or the relationship we've developed with these guys. They're bouncing back great from it, and they're more angry and frustrated than they are disappointed or embarrassed or any of that stuff. It's Division I competition. You know, bad things happen. You got to figure it out.
What was the mood in practice this week? Is there any sort of, let's just put this behind us and move forward, or do you let that sort of linger a little bit as some motivation?
Well, the feelings of, you know, the loss can't leave right away. I mean, they're going to be around, but they got to get out of your head soon. You know, you wake up on Sunday, Ted, I can tell you, you know, I have this routine with my wife, and I tell her if I'm not present, and she can always tell, I'm like, you know, clap and blink me out of it. You know, but just make sure I'm here with you and the kids, and we're enjoying time together, win or loss. Like, I can tell you, I get to that point. And we went to breakfast like we always do, and she clapped 4 times at breakfast. And so that's how much I think this impacted us. And but again, half Division I teams lose every week. So if we were to prepare beforehand, and someone were to write this journey for us, which never happens, and they were to say, hey, by the way, you're going to have a great team that you love more than anything. You're going to love these guys. They're going to be awesome seniors. You're going to have 5 fifth years come back. They're going to play their butts off, and they're going to do whatever you ask. But you're going to lose the first conference game against Sacred Heart. You're just going to have to get ready for that. Okay. Like, that doesn't happen. That's not the way athletics goes. Nobody out there tried to lose. We didn't perform well. So we have to take those feelings on a Sunday and turn them into motivation. We've got to find ways as coaches to translate those well, and to not come out and scream at your team and to point a finger and say, hey, you're lousy, or you're this, you're that. I can tell you those guys are in that film session going, you know, we feel as lousy as you do, coach. I can tell you that much. That's how great this team is at being a team. And so, you know, for us, it's let's take those emotions. Let's make sure they're angled at towards the right avenue or the right next step. And we've been very focused on what makes us us, and you know how, well, you know, we have some guys in the heat of the moment throwing back-footed passes and throwing, you know, lob skip passes. We're just not focused. We didn't do a good job getting them focused. So we have to refocus on all the work we do with fundamentals. And we talk about never throwing off your back foot ever. We say it every single day. Anybody that does it in practice, we stop it. We did that in a game 4 or 5 times. I mean, a couple of our best guys, Ted, very candidly, did a couple of our best guys that are great with their fundamental work, had some very poor fundamental play. So we refocused on the details, and don't forget about these things. League opponents matter. Preparation matters. Scouting reports matter. You got to know who you're playing, but this is how we've become who we are. So let's revisit those things. And so we took that sorry, sour, oh God, this feeling on Sunday and put it into motivation. And if it becomes a little bit of anger, we're okay with that. If it becomes a little bit of frustration, we're okay with that. But it's got to go into your next play. It's got to go into your game prep, and it's got to go into a great Brian opponent that's coming in Saturday. It's always about execution, Ted. It's never about how you feel. You got to be able to execute in the moment. So we're getting our guys focused on that.
What do you see in this Bryant team? They were 2-4 in the pre-conference schedule, a couple of head-scratching losses, a couple of close losses to pretty good teams, and then they the bell rings and they come out and pound Merrimack.
Yeah, they got the ability to pound anybody, if I can be honest with you. I think they're great. I think the they always are. I've never played a Bryant team that I've said, hey, they're not athletic, and they're they went, if I remember correctly, one year, they went 1-5 before conference play, and they won an overtime game against Dartmouth, I think. And they were 1-5, and they won the conference that year. So the their ability to coach, I have the utmost respect for. Their defensive coordinator, their offensive coordinator, I think they do very similar things year to year. And I'm not sure we know an opponent better, but they do them well. So they are typical Bryant. They're big, they're fast, they're strong, and they play a bully style of lacrosse. They want to cause turnovers. They want to run and gun. They want to take advantage of substitutions. They want to, and then when they go up big, they want to rely on their goalie and rely on their faceoff guy and their zone defense. So they've been playing this way since I've been here. And so, and again, they have a pretty good style. And you see in a Merrimack, when it comes together, and when it works, their early attack, their early onslaught, they try to punch you in the mouth early. When it works, they ride high and they play well. And so, we're more focused on when it doesn't work. And when you attack them and when you punch them in the mouth, that's what we've been talking about a bunch. So, we know exactly who's coming onto this field on Saturday, and we're doing a great job of preparing for that.
You played against and beat Mike Pressler, his Duke team, when you were at Johns Hopkins. And I'd forgotten the long history he has with Hobart going back to his Ohio Wesleyan days. He's played Hobart a few times in his lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And, full transparency, I think I don't know him really well. I think he's, where I played, Ted, you were taught to hate everyone you played against, and for whatever reasons, so we're supposed to dislike Duke, and we're supposed to, how could you not? You're playing them in a national championship game, right? But what I've learned from him is that he's a great mentor. He's done a great job mentoring this conference, to be very honest with you. When we were on conference calls and head coaches meetings with the NEC, he does a fantastic job, and he's very committed to making conferences move forward and making league opponents move forward. And in a sneaky way, he's been a pretty good mentor for me. And I don't think he's even tried, but I've had good conversations with him. And again, it's always in the product. I remember, always having conversations about, is he a good coach or da, 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 da. Look at the team, you're always as good as your record shows, but also, how do your players feel about you? And I know a lot of people that he's coached, and not a lot of them have too many bad things to say. I think they really enjoy playing for him. So he always garners our attention and our respect. And I believe he has a ton for Hobart with his history and the current players we have now.
Bryant's offense is very attack oriented. Their top three starting attackers are their top three scorers. What kind of challenge does that present? And do you defend a team like that any differently than a team that's more midi based?
Well, yes, yes. And ultimately, yes, you got to account for the fact of how many shots and how much production those three have. You have to, you got to make sure, when the ball's in their stick, here's what they're trying to do. And they constantly, and that's the way Bryant works. I think that's the way Coach Presser coaches, is that their attackmen have the green light. They can do what they want, when they want, when the ball's in their stick, they go to the goal every single time. That's pretty much the case for all of them, really. But, O'Rourke's a pretty good player. And I always say his name wrong. 14, help me out, Ted.
I don't have it right in front of me. Sorry.
Abladian. You know, another great goal scorer and number one, a great feeder. You have to have a heightened sense of awareness when the ball's in their stick, but you also have to look at tendency and make sure you're prepared for it. So if you just know that the ball's in their stick and they're going to the goal, you haven't prepared well. If you know the ball's in their stick and here's how Six loves to get to the goal, and here are the things that they do to make sure he gets to the goal, and here's how we prevent them, then you're prepared and you're executing. So we know O'Rourke really well. We know number 14, number one really well. And we have, again, good respect for them, but we also have some pretty good defenders on this team, Ted, and some guys that I think are going to take this matchup very personally. And I think you're going to, if I know you well, you're going to ask me about that, but we're prepared for who they are and how they play. And it's just, again, in the moment, can our guys step up to the challenge and defend three pretty good attackmen?
Before we came on, I was asking you about what you would say right before faceoff on Saturday. And you told me that you really don't do a huge speech right before game time, that it's really Friday when you set the groundwork and say, this is what we've done, this is what we need to do. So you've already had your practice for today, I assume?
No, we practiced at 2:00.
Okay, so what will be that final point of emphasis about getting this one in the win column?
this might be a game where I speak before the game to tomorrow, to be honest. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, pregame speeches are, I'm sure, great. And I think, you know, my players in the past will tell you sometimes I'll give a pretty impassioned pregame talk, and I spend a lot of time on them. I don't think I prepare for any public speaking more than I do when I talk before my team. And whether it's a Monday film session or a Friday scouting report, that's when I'm at my highest nerve talking to a group. You know, I could go speak to 500 wealth managers, which I did a year ago, and talk about leadership, and there's not a nervous bone in my body. But when I speak to my team, with the respect that I have for them, what they do on a day-to-day basis, then they have my most heightened sense of awareness. So I think pregame talks are a dime a dozen. You know, they push you for 5 minutes, and then you got to go back to the scout report, you know? So that's why we want Saturdays to be for them, man. We really do. We think that, especially with the Dan Ryans and the Archers and the Motts and the Frankenbrugges and the Wileys and the Michael Christensens, the Derricks, you got guys that can give a great rah-rah talk, you know, they really can. And they're very prepared to do so. But if I were to tell you the things that I'm going to say here, you'd have to kind of probably cancel them out of this podcast. But here's what I know, Ted. We prepare and do a lot of things for a very certain reason here. We probably talk more than we should. We probably try to prepare more than we should. We do lots behind closed doors that we think is the best for our guys, whether it is or it isn't. I don't have a crystal ball. I ain't perfect. And I've made plenty of mistakes, but we've also done lots of good things here. So I know that the last time we played on Boswell Field and competed on Boswell Field was against Bryant in the conference tournament a year ago. And the first time we're playing on Boswell Field is against Bryant this year. And that's for a reason, you know. Thankfully, the weather always helps us up here. You know, we play the home games in the dome early. We don't have to really pull any strings to do that. It's just the way it goes. So, but we wanted it to be this way. And we wanted to revisit some of those emotions that we had in that locker room a year ago. And I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't going to speak a little bit about the way we played a week ago and righting some wrongs from a year ago and a week ago. And I can assure you this, whether I talk Friday or whether I talk Saturday, our parent group, our alumni group, our fan base, our administration is going to see the best effort this team's given yet this season.
I wish I could stop caring about this team for 2 hours Saturday and just watch the game as a fan, because if I could do that, it would be a thrilling game. But I'm going to be up there on pins and needles and bouncing off the walls just like you will. So. This has been episode 38 of the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast. You can follow your Hobart Statesman News on Instagram at Hobart Lacrosse, also Twitter at Hobart Lacrosse. And for all your HWS Athletics news, it's the official website, hwsathletics.com. Coach, best of luck. I know we'll see a strong effort tomorrow.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.